I just want you to know what a blessing you are. Come on, do you understand that I don't take it for granted that you've come to be here at Bethel? And we've been watching the Lord just increase in so many ways, and I believe the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. I believe that God ordains it. He plans it that way. I want to talk a little bit to you and encourage you before I do. You know what you call a penguin in Tennessee? Lost. Okay, two more maybe. You know why the little bird got in trouble in school? He got caught tweeting. Oh my goodness, it's a sight. You know what the alien said to the flower bed? Take me to your weeder. Those are deer stand dad jokes. So I love it. I love it. Right. Yes. Yes. Come on. Yeah. 1 Peter 1 and then Psalm 37. I really feel impressed that we're living in a season where everybody is going through something. Amen. There is something. And it's we live in a broken world. And I was thinking about all that the Lord has brought us through. Mm-hmm. Yes. See, so many times we get caught up in what we're going through. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And we forget about what we're going to. Mm-hmm. There's about three different verses, places that really terrifies and the devil can't stand it. Psalm 91, verse 1, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Amen. The other one is Romans 8, where Paul says, for I'm persuaded that nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And then the other one is, fear not, neither be dismayed, for I'm with you. Psalm 23, David said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. I'm telling you, can you look back over your life and understand that he's been with you the whole time? He's the one that holds us together. There's so many times in my own life where I questioned and I wonder where God is. But as I've matured and grown, I've understood that he's never been absent. I've never been separated from him. Come on, you understand. When you read Romans 8, it begins with no condemnation and it ends with no separation. Amen. Now there's therefore no condemnation. The case is closed. To those who are in Christ, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made us free from the law of sin and death. And then, of course, it's one of the most incredible chapters in the Bible. But Psalm 37, 1 Peter, I want to show you something because I believe the Lord really wants me to focus on hope. The Bible said in Romans 15, 13, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, how many know that's not one day, soon? I believe that we make the transition. Death is only a transition for the child of God, but it's not something. I didn't get saved just so I could go to heaven. I didn't get saved just so I could, let me tell you that I never read in the scripture where the disciples went up into any town and said, if you died tonight, Come on, it was about letting their light shine. It was about manifesting the name of Jesus to transform our lives so that we become effervescent, we become luminescent. And it's important for us to have hope and understand that even though the circumstances seem impossible and those things can, those burdens can be so heavy. Last night as my wife and I were getting ready to turn in, we got a text from our young, we're not on live stream, and I think there's a reason for that. Young Nadia, who is on the worship team of community church where there's probably 1,000 people, and they have two services, and she's 17, about to be 18, and she's graduating high school. She texted us last night and said, "I love you both and miss you so much. I wish we could see you more, but we're dealing with the issues that she has." She began to talk about family. Many of you know it's, and she's a very godly young girl. She's really after God. So she texted us, and we told her how much we loved her, and Deb sent her a really amazing message because our son called her, and I told somebody, I told Deb after the conversation, because how many know religion can really do damage to your emotions? It can. Do you understand that when somebody, you know, I've heard most of my life that God can't look on sin. It's a contradiction. Because He comes walking in the cool of the day and He says, "Adam," after he'd sinned. He's looking for him. You understand that we're living in an hour, and what I really want to build your hope for is because when they ate of that tree, it was really, "I am not who He says I am." They ate from the "I am not" tree, and that led to "thou shalt not." You see, "I am not" will feed "thou shalt not." And "thou shalt not" will feed "I am not." Because I can never measure up to the standard. Come on, somebody. I can never reach that standard because the Bible said we are the righteousness of God in Him. Not mine. I'm the righteousness of God. Perfect righteousness. So that gives me the Holy Spirit comes inside me. Because He's working things out, and I'm telling you, He'll set you free. And I begin to thank you, Lord, because your word says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, I ain't got to the text yet, but I just feel impressed to tell you that I begin to say through the Holy Spirit, I don't want to believe that what I believe is right. Quiet now. Lord, I want to believe what's right. You know, there's a difference. Because so many, and I met guys who don't believe in God. And they believe what they believe is right. I don't want to do that. But I don't judge them. And I've met, there was a guy walking across, he was an older gentleman walking across the lawn of Turning Point. He yelled out to me, he said, "Hey, Pastor." He said, "You know I'm an atheist, right?" I said, "I didn't know for sure, but I kind of gathered as much." He said, "But you're the only one I can really understand." That's not me. That's the Holy Spirit. Now, you understand, pride could take me to a level that's not pleasing to God because He resists the proud to give grace to the humble. All I can say is thank you, Holy Spirit, for using me as your voice to speak to the heart of a man who said, "I don't believe in God." And I met another one who had come back, and you understand that sometimes they go through the process because he had told me adamantly, "I don't believe in God." But he's exposed. He's sitting in this house a few times. And when he came back and I got to sit down with him, he said, "I've reconsidered some things." He said, "Because what I was doing was not working." Come on. Holy Spirit is amazing. Never ever kick somebody to the curb because they don't believe what we believe. But you sow the seed. And watch the Holy Spirit take charge of that thing and cultivate it. And expose them to the right environment and move them in. Let me tell you, that's hope. Come on, you understand that when we're so... The Lord brought to my remembrance a scripture in Psalm that said, he that goeth forth and regards the wind will not sow. That means if you go, if you have seed and you come up against opposition and you regard the opposition, you won't sow. Well, they had rain in the forecast the day I planted my garden. I told my wife, I said, I got 100 feet and about 30 feet wide. I got some, ooh, it's going to be amazing. I got two rows of red potatoes that I had to cut the, I got a whole peck. I planted a whole peck of red potatoes. Come on, somebody. And I said, Lord, I said, just let me get this planted before the rain. And we got all of this stuff planted and it didn't rain till last night because God's timing is impeccable. And you understand that he's faithful. So he took me to Psalm. I told you to go to 1 Peter 1, right? Yeah. Well, let's go to Psalm 37 first. Because I think that what I want to do is what I feel like that I want. I said, Lord, help me to say what you would say. How you would say it. Don't let me preach my opinion. Because Jesus said, you'll know the truth and the truth shall make you free. And then he said, whoever the Son sets free is free indeed. So look at your neighbor and tell him, I am free indeed. Wherever the Spirit, they sang the song, wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. There's wherever he is made Lord, there is freedom. Psalm 37, 3. Keep trusting in the Lord and do what's right in his eyes. Fix your heart on the promises of God and you'll dwell in the land feasting on his faithfulness. Find your delight and true pleasure in Yahweh and he will give you what you desire the most. Give God the right to direct your life. And as you trust him along the way, you'll find he pulled it off perfectly. I love that translation. He will appear as your righteousness, as sure as the dawning of a new day. David's writing this psalm. He will manifest as your justice, as sure and strong as the noonday sun. Don't matter how dark it is. Don't matter how much pressure you're going through. Doesn't matter what you've experienced. He is faithful. Amen. Quiet your heart in his presence and wait patiently for Yahweh. That word wait there, incidentally, means to whirl around. It means to be in labor. It's an unusual concept for waiting on God. I've told you about waiting also in Isaiah 40, 31 means to be entwined and plaited to the will of God. They that wait. This particular word means to give birth. We may feel like we're being whirled around by our circumstances. But in the end, our season is waiting to give birth, to manifest something greater. Let me tell you, the pathway of the righteous grows brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. He says, in Psalm 37, verse 17. For the Lord cares for all his forgiven ones. While the strength of evil men will surely slip away, day by day the Lord watches the good deeds of the godly and he prepares for them his forever reward. Even in a time of disaster, he will watch over them. They will always have more than enough, no matter what happens. Remember Peter. Peter is the one who Jesus told, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to have you, to sift you like wheat. He sees the potential. He sees the possibilities. And Jesus said this, but I prayed for you that your faith will not fail. Come on, do you understand his MO, his mode of operation is to continually intercede for us so that our faith won't fail. Look at your neighbor and tell him, I'm still going. I'm still trusting. Because he's praying for you that your faith will not fail. He said, when you're converted, strengthen your brothers. He knew about his failure, but he didn't major on his failure. He majored on his future. You'll always have more than enough, no matter what happens. 1 Peter 1, verse number 2. Peter is writing to the church who is being persecuted. I'm not talking about stuff we go through every day. I'm talking about they're being persecuted. Their lives are at risk. Ultimately, the Emperor Nero is coming on the scene, and ultimately Peter will give his life. But he's writing to encourage all of the Christians and the people who are believers in areas of Asia. As a matter of fact, most of his letter is written to believers in Turkey. All parts of Turkey, like down by the Black Sea and Western Turkey, Central Turkey. He's writing to the believers there. This is about 64 AD. So remember Thomas? Thomas is attributed to preaching the gospel, and many carried the good news, even Thomas in India. So he says in verse 2, you were not forgotten. Somebody needs to hear that today. You were not forgotten. For you've been chosen and destined by Father God. You've been chosen and destined. The enemy wants to trick us into believing what's happening and going on in our lives as a result of God doesn't really care. But I'm telling you, he's there. He don't waste anything. He don't waste anything because it says the Holy Spirit, notice he's speaking of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit has set you apart to be God's holy ones. Obedient followers of Jesus Christ who've been gloriously sprinkled with his blood, thank God for the blood. May God's delightful grace and peace cascade over you many times over. Celebrate with praises the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ who has shown us his extravagant mercy. For his fountain of mercy has given us a new life. We are reborn. That word reborn is the only place in the New Testament where the Greek verb anagenēo, which is found there, this shows that God himself is the one who gives us new birth. As newborn believers filled with the life of Christ. God is truly our Father. He's poured out his Spirit into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. It's a very intimate term. To experience as a living, energetic hope. There's that word. A living, energetic hope. Remember what Jesus said? He said, come unto me, all you that are burdened and heavy laden. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That means give him the hard part, the heavy part. You take the easy part. He said, I'll give you the easy part. But we have a tendency to want to fix everything. We have a tendency to want to figure it out and put a face on the answer to our prayer. But let me tell you, if you let God take care of business, He's going to make it epic. It'll be amazing. I've watched it over and over and over and over again. So I'm resting in the truth that His promises are true and He is faithful to keep those promises, because that's what Peter's saying. He said, to experience a living, energetic hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We are reborn into a perfect inheritance. Come on, if we really knew what was in store for us, there's nothing the enemy could do. There's nothing he could convince us of, because he's a liar and the father of lies. He's a murderer from the beginning. And he's already been judged. I reminded him of that the other day when I felt the pressure. I said, just let me remind you, you've already been judged. Didn't hang around long. Because he's more afraid of us than we're of him. He says, watch. We're reborn into a perfect inheritance that can never perish, never be defiled, and never diminish. It's promised and preserved forever in the heavenly realm for you. Through our faith, the mighty power of God constantly guards. That word guards comes from a word from Romanus. It's a really hard to pronounce, which comes from a military term, phoria, meaning a fort, an army garrison stationed to defend a city. You're continually being watched and protected by God's power. Come on, look at your neighbor and tell them, we made it. Amen. This is what Paul said, I come to you and I declare to you the God who delivered me is delivering me and will yet deliver me. So he said, through our faith, the mighty power of God constantly guards us until our full salvation is ready to be revealed in the last time. Come on, how many believe we're living in the last time? We are in the last time. I've never seen it like it is. But let me tell you, I'm not shaken. I'm not the least bit worried. I'm not stocking up because I'm in fear. Unless the Holy Spirit directs me to do something that I didn't plan on doing. Because the Bible said He opens His hand to meet the need of every living thing. And He says here, may the thought of this cause you to jump for joy. Even though lately you've had to put up with the grief of many trials. Now, the King James, it says, thinking not strange concerning the fiery trial as though some strange thing happened to you. I like this translation. Because it says, may the thought of this cause you to jump for joy, even though lately you've had to put up with the grief of many trials. Now, you remember, Peter is speaking of believers who suffering difficulties and persecutions at least four times in the book of Peter. He mentions it four times. He said, but these only reveal the sterling core of your faith, which is far more valuable than gold that perishes, for even gold is refined by fire. Your authentic faith will result in even more praise, glory, and honor when Jesus, the Anointed One, is revealed. You love Him passionately, although you have not seen Him. But though believing in Him, you are saturated with an ecstatic joy, indescribably sublime and immersed in glory, for you're reaping the harvest of your faith. The full salvation promised you your soul's victory. Come on. He always causes us to triumph. You know what that word means? It means to celebrate the victory before you ever fight the battle.
Amen.
He is our hope. He is our blessed hope. And you understand when you live in a world that's filled with temporary and you see so many things slip away because they just don't last forever. We live in a time when we have to put our faith and our hope in Him. Now, you understand that faith is a confident trust. Faith is a confident trust. How does faith come? By information. You had experience with chairs, right? Because when you came in, you never doubted the fact that that chair is going to hold you up when you sit down. That's faith. Never even have to think about it. You know what? The Lord wants to bring us to a place where our faith becomes so amazing, extraordinary that we don't even have to think about it. Hebrews 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made by the things which do appear. Come on, somebody. Woo. And you understand that he framed the worlds with his words. And Paul says in Colossians, everything is held together by him. For by him and for him were all things created. Yeah. I was thanking the Lord. I said, thank you, Lord, that I'm still here and I have respect because I was created. I was born again. Yes. And I was created in his image. You were created in his image. I think he delights to look at you. Come on, somebody. I tell my wife just about every Sunday, I said, you look pretty today. And she'll say, you look handsome. Come on. It's really good for the dopamine. Come on, that part of your brain that's feel good. Yeah. It's good because Paul says it like this, hold fast the form of sound words. Yeah. Yeah. How many know that you begin to speak sound words when you have a sound heart and you have faith in the one who caused you to be born into the world that knew you were coming and wrote your days in his book? So Peter is writing this letter of encouragement. Go over to 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 9. I met one of my old school buddies that I graduated with and his wife. I had to go to Winn-Dixie late yesterday afternoon and they asked me how I was doing. I said, I'm just getting better all the time. I'm in Winn-Dixie, right? I said, that's not a commercial. It could be. Well, it came from an old commercial, but see, I adopted it because it's biblical. And he said, really? And I said, yeah. I said, I told Deborah's doctor that the other day, and he said, I don't believe that. And I said, or I have a hard time. I forgot how he said it. And, you know, that's his problem. Because it's perspective, it's faith, the confidence. So 1 Peter chapter 2, this is what. Over and over, Peter talks about the precious blood, how precious Christ is. And how some keep stumbling over the message. Because they refused to believe it. And this they were destined to do. Now look at verse 9. But you are God's chosen treasure. Chosen generation is what it says in the King James. But I like this translation. You were his chosen treasure. That word treasure is the Hebrew word segula. That means a special treasure possession. It's just used to describe guarded wealth. Come on, you You understand, you are his guarded wealth. Peter's about to talk about it. He said, it's like indicating the placement of the king's jewels and treasures in a safe, protected place because of their extraordinary value. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. He says, but you are God's chosen treasure, priests who are kings. A spiritual nation set apart as God's devoted ones. He called you out of darkness to experience the marvelous light, and now he claims you as his very own. Father sees you, he calls you his. I'm reminded of 1 John 3:1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God. Now are we the children of God, and it does not yet appear what we'll be. But we know that when he appears, we're going to be like him, for we're going to see him as he is. That's why Jesus said in John 17, whoo, I'm about to get happy now. John 17, he said in verse 3, Father, this is eternal life, that they know you and they know me. Then he goes on down and say, Father, I thank you that you love them with the same love that you love me with. Amen. And I pray that they become one. Father, that in that day, they're going to know that I'm in you and they are in me. And we are in them. He says he called you out of darkness, called you to set you apart, conspicuous, as his treasure of change, as an instrument of change. He didn't call us to blend in, to become so worldly that we become indistinguishable. There's times, you know, I get really... I heard somebody say, you know why the bicycle didn't stand up? I said, no, it was too tired. I know, come on, help me, pray for me, because there are those moments when we become too tired. But let me tell you what the Lord does. He gives us the grace. He strengthens it. He will quicken your mortal body. I can't explain it, but I can tell you that God is faithful. And he said, he claims you as his very own. He did so that you would broadcast his glorious wonders throughout the world. For at one time you were not God's people, but now you are. At one time you knew nothing of God's mercy because you hadn't received it yet, but now you're drenched with it. You're drenched with it. I'm going to read one more verse, verse 25 of chapter 2. You were like sheep that continually wandered away, but now you've returned to the true shepherd of your lives, the kind guardian who lovingly watches over your souls. It's important that we have hope. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, in the last verse, now abides faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. You understand what will deliver you from Lucy's fine. She's fine. She's a sweetheart. I love to hear that sound. Yeah. Yeah. So what's amazing is that Jesus didn't preach, thou shalt not. What he did do was, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength and mind. Amen. And the second one is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. When we come into that place of knowing who we are, and we don't put ourselves under the microscope and we dismiss the law. Because we've been trained in many ways to mixture.
That's right. Come on now.
Hebrews, you'll read about Abraham and Sarah. Sarah suggested to Abraham, we help God out. I'm too old to have children, but he said we would, so I'm going to give you Hagar. She's a slave woman. She's... Abraham didn't argue a bit. And they get Ishmael, the son of the slave. Here's an allegory. He said, this is an allegory of the law that they received at Mount Sinai. You remember at Mount Sinai, 3,000 people died. On the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people got saved. What was the difference in the message? The law versus grace. Now watch. He said, Sarah said that the son Ishmael was mocking Isaac on the day he was weaning, on weaning day. He was mocking him. Mama, Sarah said, you got to get rid of them. And Abraham was a little bit worried and he was concerned because he cared for Hagar. And the Lord spoke to Abraham and said, listen to your wife. Get rid of the... Dismiss Hagar and the son. Dismiss them out of the house. He can't be your heir. Jesus said, I didn't come to do away with the law. I came to fulfill it. So we understand that he said, you got to dismiss the law because you can't have mixture in the house. He can't inherit the promise and he can't bring about the results I want to see because he's the son of the slave. You understand the law will enslave you. Thou shalt not will enslave you. And thou shalt not is fed by I am not. I know, boy, this is a mess with religious people big time. But once you come to discover that you are born again through your faith in his gift, you get released from the schoolmaster. And you get brought under the care of the good master, who lays down his life for the sheep. He gives us hope. I want you to stand with me. Peter said, no matter what happens, it's working a far greater glory. I look back over my life and I thank God for every battle, every struggle that he brought me through. Everyone. He actually brought me through all of them. He brought you through all of them. You're here. You may be having one right now, but don't you worry. You're coming through. You're coming through because he's faithful. I want to tell you to know how much you're loved. Now, this is what the Lord really has. I said, Lord, just Holy Spirit, teach me. And I'm telling you, he has impressed this on me. I can't let it go because religion looks for performance and even perfection. But he's not looking for performance and perfection. I've had people tell me, I'll come to church when I get things straightened out. That's backwards. Because if the truth is being delivered, the message of God is, going forth. He's already, before the foundation of the world, Christ was crucified. He made provision for our victory. It's not about going to church. It's about becoming the church. You're living stones. Jesus, the chief cornerstone, built up as a spiritual house so he can inhabit that house. I'm telling you, this praise team, since last Sunday, kind of went to a new level. And it's really just bringing heaven. It's not that heaven has to come anywhere, but it's bringing the atmosphere. But I want to encourage you today, if you're here and you say, Pastor, I've been carrying something I don't need to carry. It's not mine. He said, the battle's not yours, but God's. Peter's, that's what he's telling him. He said, don't think it's strange. This is who you are. You are a chosen generation. You're his special treasure. You're a royal priesthood. You're a kingdom of priests. You're a peculiar people. I was in the feed place getting my seed, and I'd seen this lady that's kind of new. She'd been there for a few months now. Didn't know her name, didn't know anything about her, but every time I go in there, you know, I never carry. It's important. And I didn't have to work up this attitude. You understand? I don't have to work up this attitude. It happens. Because I'd go in and they'd ask me, how you doing? Well, I would tell them I'm getting better all the time, but then I felt quickened to say I'm doing everything I can to keep the adventure going. So she was over at all the seed, and she was getting all my garden stuff together. She turned around and looked at me. She said, where do you go to church? I said, I've actually pastored a church for 24 years. She said, I knew it. I knew it, because you never come in here. Every time you come in here, you change the atmosphere. Let me tell you about my Jesus. She told me the church she went to, and she told me she could just tell the difference. You understand, people know. You don't have to say a word. She said, I lost my son in 2019. And I said, I can't imagine what that feels like. I can't imagine. I've done 9 memorial services since December. 9. Never in the ministry have I ever. And one of the most heartfelt was Lawton and Marcia's son, 25 years old. Those young ones. And you understand that I don't have all the answers. But I can tell you the faithful God who brings comfort and helps us keep going, even though we live in a broken and temporary world. And so I said to her, I said, I'm really big on identity and how much we're loved. 2 things, if you ever, ever grasp the goodness of God and that you are beloved, it will change your life forever. It'll cause you to be effervescent. You'll just be false. You'll be light. That's what Peter said. You're the light. Jesus said you're the light. It don't mean that you live in denial. It don't mean that you deny that you're going through. Peter knew it. He acknowledged it. It's important, but it's also important to acknowledge your faith and your confidence in what's ahead. So she said, where's your church? I said, I told her where it was, and she thought about it. She said, I moved here from Helena right after my son died. But I'm telling you, God will mark you. He'll bring you before people. He'll bring you before people that just need your influence. They just need your influence. And you don't have to work that up. because the Holy Ghost in you. Woo. So if you're here today, boy, I don't want to just keep, I got an ocean to put in a thimble. And it's amazing. Come here. Lift your hands toward heaven. How's your vision? Yeah, the love of Jesus. Would you stretch your hand this way? Somebody right now, you feel impressed to come and pray. Well, come here, come on. Do you have the power to answer prayer? Her vision's not where it should be, so that's an intruder. That's not supposed to be. We just command it to go from her right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that she is the beloved of the Father and you are good and you made provision. I command it to go. I command in the name of Jesus that this infirmity, that her eyes are completely focused and whole in Jesus' name. Believe for her. Thank you, Lord. Lawton, you and Marcia, come here.